this time, let's go ahead and release the little ones to Children's Church. Little ones, don't run, don't push, don't shove, no blades, chains, or baseball bats.
Hey.
She will. Big fast coming up. Thank you, Brother James. We got the big fast coming up starting tomorrow. It's all voluntary, you know. No one's going to know if you don't partake. The Lord's going to know. If you don't feel led to do it, don't do it. But as a corporate body, as a church, we're stepping out. We're going to give up some things for the next few weeks, and we're going to spend that time in prayer. We're going to spend that time in reading the Word. We're going to spend that time with the Lord. Amen. So if you find yourself constantly pulling out your cell phone and Googling something, or anybody in here like to just look up the stupidest, weirdest facts for no reason? Something pops in your head and you're like, ooh, I wonder. Yeah, well, I'm big into doing that. And you know what? It might help you out one day. I won a party game over the holidays. That's right. Stupid, worthless knowledge may come in handy. But we're not here to talk about stupid, worthless knowledge. We're here to talk about the good Lord. Amen? We want to get excited about that. But if your thing is Googling worthless rubbish, well, and you find yourself constantly doing that, well, when you feel that itch, go ahead and get onto some scriptures and read those scriptures. We want to grow in our relationship with the Lord, okay? We spend all day long filling ourselves up with what our body wants. Amen? Well, let's start to feed this spirit. Let's grow in relationship. Amen? Okay, God is good. Praise the Lord. Turn to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. It's time to take what the Lord has for us. Amen. I know that God wants to do some awesome things in this church this year. I know that the Lord wants to do some awesome things in my life and in all our lives. So, like Stevie was saying, we need to be expecting. We want to be expecting God to move. We want to be ready for what the Lord has for us. Amen. Okay. Okay, so where did I tell y'all to turn? Okay, that's a good verse. That's an awesome verse, and we can talk about that if you want to. But what I meant to say is Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. God is good, cookies are good, but sometimes they mess with you. Okay. Jeremiah 29:11. God has an awesome plan for us. Amen. So let's get excited. Let's get ready. Raise your hands if you want what the Lord has for you this year. Do it again, because I wasn't looking. All right. God is good, Brother Merrill. God is good. So Jeremiah 29:11. Let me set this up just a little bit. The children of Israel, or the Israelites, were going through a really, really, really tough time, okay? They were exiled into Babylon, okay? But God wanted to tell his people, hey, I haven't forgot you. I'm not done with you, okay? You're not old news. You're not a has-been. But I've got some plans for you. I got a good plan for you. So Wednesday, I'm spending some time with the Lord. And this is one of the verses that the Lord gave me for this church. I know it's a familiar verse. I know we could all, you know, probably just say it from the top of our head. But let's look at this together, because this is for us right now. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. So God has an awesome plan for us, okay? And who knows the plan, Jordan? Who knows the plan? God knows the plan, right? We don't know all the ins and the outs, but we can get excited because, hey, guess what? The sovereign God, Kayla, the creator of the universe. Will that work for everybody? Hey, he's got a plan for us, man. A good plan, an awesome plan. Who in here gets kind of stoked or fired up when they think about the fact that God thinks about me? I mean, isn't that crazy? Isn't that awesome, Dustin? That God thinks about me and he loves me so much that he has a plan for me. It's not like some people think we're just here and aimlessly, you know, we're just going around and doing our, no, God has something for us to do, and it's a good something, Steve. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil. Isn't that good? Now, that word welfare, that shalom in the Hebrew, and that's like peace, that's like provision, that's like plenty. Peace, oh plenty. Provision, oh plenty. That's God is saying, I got a good plan for you, and I got everything that you're going to need. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Okay, we got to get fired up. We got to get excited. You can take a nap in just a little bit. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil. Okay, so not a lot of us go around thinking, well, God has evil plans for me. But sometimes if we get serious with ourselves, sometimes we think, well, you know, I think that I'm the one guy that God really doesn't have a good plan for. You know, I'm the one guy that I don't really have a lot going on in the cool department. You know, can I get a witness? No, I'm playing. No, but see, God has an awesome plan, and it's not a bad plan, okay? Although we don't know all the ins and the outs, we don't know exactly everything he's got planned for us, we can get excited, Caleb. We can get hyped up because he's got a good plan for me. Amen? Plans for welfare and not for evil to give you a future and a hope. Okay, so God's got a future for me. And I need to get fired up about this. This is what I really wanted to focus on, is this part of the verse right here, to give you a future. God has a plan for this church. God has a plan for you, Donnie, and it's a good plan. He's got a plan for you, Brother Shepherd. As individuals, God looks down. He's like, yeah, I got a plan for Sister Claudia. I got things that I want this body to do collectively, but I also got some awesome things that I want little Savannah Smiles to do and Sean Shane to do. I got big plans for him. I got a future planned out for him. Amen? And he's saying this, the children of Israel, the Israelites, they're going through a tough time right now. And he's saying, hey, I want you to know this because I want you to get fired up. I want you to get excited. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to get excited about what the Lord is doing in this church. Amen? Okay, he's got plans. Okay, and you know, this. I mean, we could pull this verse out, Jeremiah 29:11. We can read it any time of the year and get psyched up and get excited. But I'm telling you, this verse today is for today and this church. Amen? Okay, Deuteronomy 2. Go to Deuteronomy 2. And all God's people said, Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 3. So we're going to be talking a lot about the nation of Israel today. Deuteronomy 2, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 3. Now, this is a cool little verse right here. Now, the nation of Israel, who we're talking about. Okay. Now, look at these guys. They've been delivered out of Egypt, out of slavery. Okay. Not long after that, and it really wasn't that long, they come up to the promised land. I'm not saying they entered the promised land, but they come up to the promised land. Okay, and they send the spies into the promised land to kind of scout it out to see what's going on. One representative from the 12 tribes is sent over. So there's 12 spies going to the promised land. Well, they come back and they give the report. And 10 of them are like, it's an awesome place, but there's giants in the land. And it's scary. And you know what? We can't take it. But two guys... Listen up, two guys were like, no way, dude. This is an awesome place, and we can take it. God is on our side. We can totally do this. You see what I'm saying? Well, the Israelites, they get the news about this report, and they're like, no, we don't want anything to do with going over there. Now, what about this, Brother Rick? What about the fact that The Egyptian army was drowned in the Red Sea. What about the fact that the Red Sea parted for the children of Israel? What about the 10 plagues? What about the manna? What about the water springing from the rock? What about God's provision? What about the pillar of fire? And we can go on and on and on. God has shown himself to these people faithful time and time again. You know, but when they entered this new level, they're like, no, this is too big. Okay, so God says, you got to go back to school. You got to go, let's go for a walk for about 38 years. Let's clear our heads. Let's go for a walk. Because you know what? If you don't want it, I'm not going to make you take it. Okay? So they go on this journey around this mountain for all these years. All those folks die off. And so they're traveling around and around for all these years. And this is where we're at right here. And this is where this church is at, man. I'm telling you, let's get fired up. Let's get excited. You have been traveling, Deuteronomy 2:3. You have been traveling around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward. That means head back to the direction of the promised land. Okay? You've been doing this out here in the wilderness, but now it's time to go take what I have for you. You see what I'm saying? That's what God is saying for us. That's what God is saying to us as individuals in there. It's time for us to go into that new level or that next level of our relationship with the Lord. And he's got some awesome things in store for us. So raise your hand if you're excited about what God wants to do in your life, in your home, in this church, in this next year. Because an awful lot can happen. Or a whole lot of nothing can happen. God wants to bless, okay? But if we don't want to trust in him, if we don't see our God big enough, then you know what? It's going to slow down that process. Amen? Who wants the process to be slowed down? Raise your hand. All right. That's my buddy right there. Okay. Let's look at the next verse, Philippians 3. This is what the Apostle Paul says. Philippians 3 and verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Isn't that awesome? What I accomplished last year, that's fine, that's dandy, okay? But God has a lot more in store for us, amen? And I want everything that God has for me. So God says, hey, you know what, church? Let's turn north. Let's get vertical. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Let's get vertical with our relationship with the Lord. Amen. Let's get excited about our Lord. Let's get intimate with him. Let's begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Let's get in the good book so we can get fired up, man. Sometimes we're all about eating the combo meals and all that stuff, but we're starving our spirit. We're really starving our spirit. So we need to begin to make sure that I'm going to spend some time with the Lord, you know, and begin to eat, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Get excited about him. Let's fall in love with him. Amen. Who's down with falling in love with the Lord? Amen. God is good. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. So a lot of times, okay, a lot of times, you know, we've been hurt in the past. We went through some painful things in the past, some rejections, some things like that. And that'll cause us, we will allow ourselves to be stagnant in our walk with the Lord. You know what I mean? Hey, I got hurt in this area, so I don't feel like I'm worth anything to be used by the Lord. You see what I'm saying? Hey, it happens, man. Or we know that we have dropped the ball. We've fouled up. We've made mistakes. We've got into some sinful situations last year or last month or yesterday or right before church started or during the praise and worship service. Right? Right? Amen, Stevie, is that right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. And we can hold ourselves back because we're focusing on the things we've done instead of giving it to the Lord. Amen? And it's like I said earlier, we don't disqualify ourselves. You know, the Lord doesn't disqualify us because we've made some bonehead mistakes or we've got selfish. You know, we're still his kid. He still has plans for us. You know, he wants us to move forward. He's like, man, listen, don't let this rubbish hold you back. I got big plans for you. Amen. And also, sometimes, you know, well, it's time for me to chill out. We've accomplished a lot recently, and it's time to take a break. No, God wants us to move forward. Amen. 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 It's awesome that we're taking back the ground that Satan has stolen out of our lives. But we want to take it all back, don't we? And then we want to go in the enemy's camp. We want to go on the offensive. Amen. So Paul's saying, man, you know what? The past is the past. I can't change it. But I'm moving forward. Amen. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's like, my past, my education, my accomplishments, all that, should I say it, Brian? It's rubbish. It's rubbish. Let's just use rubbish. Okay. Paul's like, it's rubbish, okay? I just want Jesus. I just want to be everything that he's called me to be. Amen? So as a body, let's decide today, okay, we're not going to sign contracts. Rachel's not going to come visit you at the house. Okay, and make sure you're doing this. But let's decide, man, that I want to be what God's called me to be. I want to be that person. I want to be that person that is expecting what God has in store for me. And kind of get excited. You know what I mean? Let's get excited about what God wants to do. And when we come into church, whether it's a Sunday night, well, don't come on Sunday night unless we have plans to show up on Sunday night. But, I mean, if you want to hang out in the parking lot, that's cool. You come to church on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, come expecting, hey, God's going to show up, you know, God's going to show up, and let's not get freaked out if God shows up, right? This is what we're here for. We're here to give him glory. We're here to give him praise. So if James does 5.5 songs, don't start rolling your eyes. All right. If we need to pray for some people, if somebody has a word, man, let's not be the Baptists are going to be at KFC, Josh. I don't have. Don't talk to me about that. I love Baptist folks. Don't. I know. I feel like we got a good thing going on. thank you, Jesus. God is good, man. Okay. But let's move forward in our relationship. Let's get excited. Let's be expecting. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next slide. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Brother Michael. Isaiah 43, guys. Isaiah 43 and 19. Read Isaiah 43 this week. It's awesome. Read Isaiah. Read it all week long. It's an awesome book. God is good. Isaiah 43 and 19. This is for us. This is for us. This verse was also given to me concerning this church, okay? Don't think I'm crazy because I'm saying God gave me a Bible verse. If we listen to him, he'll speak to us. Amen? I mean, you can think I'm crazy if you want to. Isaiah 43 and verse 19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Isn't that cool? I'm doing a new thing. Okay. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. This is our season of advancement. Okay? God has some awesome things that are going to take place in this church. Are y'all with me this morning? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now listen, Brother Fred and Sister Claudia, they laid the groundwork, the last generation of this church. They did the groundwork. They fought a lot of the battles. Brother Al was here. There's some folks that are still here from that group that did a lot of the warfare. Now listen to me, okay, that this church is about to reap some of those benefits of those victories that were won. Amen? Does that make sense? You got it? Okay. That church went through a lot of spiritual warfare. It's like King David. King David was the warrior king, okay? Now, he did a lot of warfare, okay? And he wanted to do some things, but God said, you know what, David? This is the role I have you in, okay? But these things are going to get done, but it's going to be for another generation, okay? Now, you do this job. So Brother Fred and Sister Claudia, they did a lot of the groundwork, okay? But a lot of that blessing is coming on us. You see what I'm saying? Okay, but also, listen, King David's son had a job to do as well. He wasn't just to sit there and receive the blessing that his father paved the way for. You see what I'm saying? But Solomon had to build that temple, and the Lord has said that we're going to build a new building. Amen? Did everyone's mouth just drop? Amen. The Lord said, hey, we're going to build a new building. Is it going to be on this property? I don't know. I'm cool with that. But, I mean, we're not, you know, God's got a lot of stuff for us to do. That's just one of the things, okay? But I want to get excited about it. And I don't know if that's going to happen this year or next year or 5 years down the road, okay? But we're going to begin to reap the benefits, and we already have started to see those, okay? But we're going to be blessed. But see, we have a job to do. This generation isn't just to sit back, okay? We're not here to play church. You see what I'm saying, Brother Shepherd? We're not here for that. We got some stuff to do as well. Amen? Y'all with me? But we got a new thing, okay? When the children of Israel got up to the promised land, there was much for them to do once they got in that promised land. Amen? Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. So when's it going to happen? It's starting, man. Like, for real, this is like in my heart stuff, spirit stuff. This isn't like it's the first of the year and let's get everybody all psyched up for nothing. Okay, but we do need to get psyched up, but get psyched up for something, Sister Monica, because we're going to begin to see some awesome things. Now, what we have to do is get obedient, get line our will up with the Lord's will, and not fold our hands, you know what I mean, and say, that's impossible. That's pretty much just impossible. No, because that's not what my Bible says. You know what I mean? God wants to do some stuff. Now let's become that obedient servant, that sold out servant, so we can be that vessel he can use, and let's take that ground. Let's turn north, amen? Let's get vertical. Let's go get what God has for us. Preach it. Preach it, Brother Paul. Amen. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Look, do you not perceive it, Donnie? Do we perceive it? Can we visualize, hey, that one day, these chairs might get filled up. Hey, man. One day, these chairs might get... And it ain't about that. Straight up, now tell me, it ain't about that. I know. God's going to fill this place up. God's going to fill this place up to where we're going to have to make some awesome decisions. You know? Like, good decisions are like, should we go to two services Sunday morning? What should we do? You know, these are things. God's going to begin to do some stuff. Now, I want to get excited about it and stop being one of those cats that are like, eh, well, you know, Pastor Fred's boys, he's there now. And, yeah, he's all right. You know, it's good. He, you know, give him an A for effort. You know, yeah, listen, man. I'm not filling his shoes. I can't fill his shoes, okay? But the Lord has given me my own shoes to fill. So I'm never going to be like him, okay? I'm not going to fill that mold. I can't fill that mold. And he's up there getting his reward right now, okay? But God has some shoes for me to get into. God's got a plan for this generation of Victory Life Church, amen? And we've got to walk in those shoes. We got to be what he's called us to be, amen? So let's get excited, amen? Do you not perceive it? Can we not get excited? Well, what is exactly the Lord going to do? I don't know, but he says, I know the plan I got for you. I know the plan I have for you. You just get obedient, man, and I'm gonna bless you. I'm going to use you. Amen. Do you not perceive it? This is good. All God's people said this is good. I will make a way in the wilderness. Isn't that awesome? I will make a way in the wilderness where there was no path before, Al, where there was no direction before, where I scratched my head and I was like, God, I know that something needs to happen, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. It's me. You know me. I have to get my wife to help me tie my shoes when I get in a knot. You know, I don't know what to do, Jesus. Well, he's going to make the path clear. Okay, so we don't know everything he's got planned. I would like to say, by this time next year, you know, that's on him. Okay, we just want to be obedient. Okay, but he says, I'll make the path for you. I'll show you where to go and what to do. Amen, isn't that cool? I don't know. I thought it was cool. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Man, that is so awesome. What people thought was dead is going to become alive again. What people thought was going away is going to spring forth. Remember, our Lord, he works and he excels in the impossible. He does these awesome things that blows the minds of folks. You know what I mean? I'm talking about in our own lives too. We need to get excited. We need to get excited. Where your marriage was dead. No, it don't have to be that way. Amen? Dig it? Do we dig it? Okay. And that's what the kids say now, Rick. Dig it. I think. And rivers in the desert, that also speaks of provision. You got a journey to go on. You got some things to do. Guess what? You're not going to be lacking. I'm going to give you what you need. Amen? Anybody getting fired up? 2 Peter 1, man. This is good. This is good, man. Now, this is what you want to write down. Did you do it, Rick? Okay, see this? Now, you have to borrow a pen from somebody, and they're totally cool with you not returning it, because when you lend a pen out, you know you're not getting it back anyways. But take a pen and write this verse down on the back of your bulletin. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Underline it in your Bible, whatever you need to do, but you want to hit this verse. Okay, we're reading Isaiah 43, and you're going to write down this verse. Talking about God. God's got something for me to do. It's time to turn north. It's time to take what the Lord has for us. It's a time of advancement for this church if that's what we want. Okay? Now, God, we don't have to worry about the provision, because guess what? If I'm in the Lord's will, if I'm following the Lord's plan, you think he's going to starve us to death in the wilderness? It don't happen that way. It don't happen that way. He's going to have that provision for me. Well, where's that provision come from, Brother Eugene? His divine power. Okay, see, that divine thing, that's a God thing. And where me and Robert come up short, you know, he fills in that gap. His all-knowing, all-super-powerful, it's hard to describe. We'll just how about we say his divine power? His divine power, he can do all things. Amen. So by his divine power, his infinite power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Can I get an amen? Okay. You know, I appreciate you saying amen if you weren't listening. So, but really, I'm going to give you a reason to say amen, because you're going to listen to this time. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Yeah. Amen. He has everything we need for the journey. I'm going north. You know what I mean? I'm going to take what he has for me. And guess what? I'm not going to run out of gas money along the way unless he wants to teach me a lesson. And then he's going to make a way where there is no way. Okay? But he's got that provision for me for all things in my life. He knows these kids need food on their table. He knows Brother Brian needs some New Balances every 4 months. Brian likes good shoes. Oh, Lord. What I'm trying to say is God knows what we need. All things pertaining to life. He knows you need clothes. He knows you need shelter. He's got that covered. He said, I got that covered, man. You be about my business. I'll make sure these things are taken care of so I can quit my job. No. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you can quit your job unless Jesus tells you to quit your job, okay? And get that confirmed. You know what I'm saying? I did not say quit your job. Okay, unless Jesus says quit your job. Okay, you go with Jesus. Okay. Amen. Has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So this spirit man too. If he's got a place for me to be, if he's got a platform he wants me to speak on, if he wants a youth building built, if he wants a shelter built, if he wants a soup kitchen built, if he wants us to be in these areas, guess what? He's got the provision for it. He says, hey, my divine power will take care of it. So you don't have to get, if you feel the calling and you know this is in your future, don't get stressed out. Don't get freaked out because you don't know how it's going to happen. But just hunger and thirst for me. Fall in love with me, okay? Because I'll make a way where there is no way. The ultimate goal is to get you over to that promised land. I want you to be there, amen? Now you get line your will up with my will, amen? All right. But, okay, but here's a condition. Because that verse is killer, right? That verse is awesome. And we can go around and quoting that all day long, Dustin. God has given me all things by his divine power for life and godliness. So that's the gambit. That's everything is covered. Okay, but now listen. Through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him. Okay, that doesn't mean knowing about God. Okay. You guys know about me. You see me up here. You know I'm a good dresser, you know what I'm saying. You know things about me. You know. Chances are you know that. I don't know. I mean, you know what you know, but you don't know me like Sister Claudia knows me. You don't know me like she knows me. And Sister Claudia, as precious as she is to me, she doesn't know me like Rachel Jean knows me. You see, it's not about knowing about God. We can know about God, but see, that's not what he's talking about. That's not going to release anything to know about him. I can know about Andrew Jackson. I can know about John Wilkes Booth. I can know about the guy who invented Babe Ruth. I can know about Babe Ruth, but I don't know Babe Ruth. But see, I can know the creator of the universe. And he says, get to know me. Get intimate with me. Let me mature you. Let's grow up together. Align your will with my will. Let me take all this garbage out and give you the desires that I want you to have. And not only will I meet your earthly needs, but I'm going to bless you in ways you can't imagine because I want to use you. Amen? Okay, God is good. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Let's go to the next slide. Warfare. Satan's not going to sit back. Who's all for going north? Who's all for going and taking what the Lord has for us? Amen. Okay, we want that. We want that relationship. We want to be everything he's called us to be. We want to walk in that area. Amen. Well, as we get fired up, as we get expecting, as we come into church fired up, you know, no more maintaining the status quo church. No more just coming in and getting my religious check mark for the week. I'm not saying anybody does that. I don't know. I've been guilty of that. Ooh, if I can just get through that sermon on Sunday. I can just get that out of the way. You know what I mean? 7 more days. Yeah. Don't judge me, y'all. Thank you, Sister Audrey. Happy birthday. No more playing games. Let's get serious about that walk. When we get fired up, you think Satan's just going to, fold up his notes, put his little pen in his pocket, like, well, I guess I better go to the Assemblies of God church and see what kind of trouble I can start down there because these guys are getting serious now. No, man, he's going to dig in. He's like, I don't want these guys doing what God's called them to do. I want them to have a little games. I want them to have distractions. I want there to be cliques, and I want division, and I want marriages broke up, and I want people basically fighting in the parking lot. I want trouble a-brewing. You know what I mean? That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to be what the Lord's called us to be. So when we get fired up, he's going to roll up his sleeves. You know what? But I don't have a spirit of fear, do we? We don't have a spirit of fear. He's a defeated foe. And Satan, he works in smoke and mirrors, don't he? The fear is his thing, man. He wants us to get terrified. He wants us, no, there's giants in that land. It doesn't matter there's giants in the land. They're bred for us, man. God said that land's mine. God said, this is where I want you to be. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to give it to you. Now you got to trust in me and stop looking at all the scary stuff. Amen? All right. So anyways, Nehemiah 4:17-18. Jerusalem, we're jumping ahead a long time here. And Jerusalem gets destroyed. The wall gets destroyed. Okay, everybody's exiled. A lot of folks are exiled over to Babylon. Well, Nehemiah gets commissioned. He gets called by the Lord to go back and build this stuff up again. Okay, now, I think we can agree, if you know anything about this story, starting this whole thing off is pretty much impossible. Okay? But see, God said, this is what I want to happen. And you are the person that I've called to make this happen. And see, that's us. There's stuff that we can, you know, there's stuff that we can look at and say, oh, this is impossible. There's no way. Well, you know what? God's called you to do it, and he'll make a way. Amen. But we need to understand that Satan's going to try and steal. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeing who he can deceive, seeing what he can break apart. You know what I mean? He don't like us to be in the Lord's will. Amen. But anyways, so the enemy has got these plans to destroy God's plans where Nehemiah is rebuilding this wall. Okay, that's what Satan wants to do in our life. He wants to cause any kind of trouble he can cause so we don't fulfill God's plan. Amen? But see, let me read this verse, because this is what Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem had to do. Okay, one thing they all did is everybody applied their own trades, their own gifts, their own talents, their abilities toward the building of this wall. And if they didn't have a trade that applied, they just went in and started working. Okay, and that's one of the things I love about this church is when people come in and they have a gift, they have a talent that God has given them, and right away, man, they're like, okay, this is what I can do, and I want to do this. And they begin to let the Lord use them in this church, in this body. But also, what's really, really cool is people come in and like, I'm not a nursery worker type of person. Truth be told, I don't like, no, I'm playing. You know, but I see a need. I see a need, and I want to be obedient to the Lord. You know what I mean? So they step in, and we begin to allow the Lord to use us, and that's how things get done. Amen? So we see that, and that's what happened in Nehemiah's time. People started working on the wall behind their house, started doing the things they knew how to do, started to get involved. But see, there was Satan was on the prowl. Satan was up to no good. So Nehemiah 4 and verse 17, okay, those who were building the wall, those who carried burdens, were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. Isn't that cool? Kind of hard to picture in your mind, right? Anybody ever work construction? Yeah, anybody? Yeah, of course. Tomorrow, right? Y'all will be out there. Okay. So anyways, you know, you're hammering away, you're building away, but hey, can you hand me a nail? Can you put a nail here? Hey, get it yourself. I'm holding my sword with my other hand, brother. Put a nail up there, dude. You know? So they're holding their weapon with one hand, and with the other hand they're working. Like the Seabees. Anybody know about the Navy Seabees? Yeah. That insignia, man, when I was a kid, I thought that patch was like the awesomest patch. You know, it was a bee, and he held a Thompson submachine gun in one hand, and in the other hand, he had a bunch of flowers. You're right. We got a sharp one over there. Didn't have a bunch of flowers. That'd be oxymoron, right? Machine gun and flowers. All right, I'll go. He had a hammer. I had a hammer. I'm working, but I'm also vigilant. I ain't playing no games here. I got a job to do. I'm going to be productive. But Satan, you ain't playing no games, okay? I'm vigilant. I'm in my word. I'm in my prayer closet. You see what I'm saying? That's what God's called us to be. Satan's not going to hold back. We went through a lot of rubbish last year in the spirit. Amen. Guess what? We're going to go through some warfare again, okay? But we're going to be ready. Amen. We're not going to get in the flesh. I'm going to be vigilant, just like Nehemiah. I'm watching for that attack. And when the time comes, I'll put me little hammer down, and I'll go crazy with my sword. Amen. You got what I'm saying? Thank you, Jesus. The children of Israel, when they got up to the promised land, when they turn north and they get to the promised land, it's a different phase of existence. It's a place of advancement, but guess what? There's still a lot of battles to fight. There's still a lot of ground to be taken, okay? And those giants and those people living there, they weren't like, okay, you're here. I went ahead and made the bed for you. Should be a fire in the stove, and that's an apple tree. Those are good, and you know, check you later. They weren't like that. They weren't like that at all. There was constant battle and constant warfare. But when they trusted in the Lord, when they were obedient to the Lord, when they were in their Lord, see you later, bro. When they were obedient to the Lord, guess what? There was victory. There was victory. But when they got off to their own thing, it didn't work out so well. Amen. Is God good? Okay, so Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, be strong and courageous. This is a good verse to quote, good verse to write down. Write down, save it, tear it up, write it on your mirror, whatever you want to do. Scratch it into someone else's car. Don't do that. Dustin, that was a joke. Don't do that. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. Talking about the inhabitants, okay? Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. Woo, dog. Woo, yeah, come on. It is the Lord God that goes with us. It's not Joe Bill or Jim Buck or the guy down the way. You know, it's not your dad. It's God. God, the creator of the universe. That guy, that awesome person, the king of all kings, name above all names. He is my banner. He is my victory. You know what I mean? He goes before me. He goes with me. Man, I'm telling you, that's a life changer right there. Because the times, Brother Shepherd, in the times of my life when I had that in here and I wasn't going to let it go, that I knew I was supposed to do this for the Lord and I knew He was with me, man, that's a different feeling, bro. And God changes things because I'm like, man, come on. I know I'm supposed to do this and God is with you. Amen. Because that fear factor, does that still come on TV? Okay. That fear factor gets erased, man, when I can grab hold of that God is with me. God, not lowercase g God, not fake God, but the one true God is with me. I don't know. I mean, that's cool. It's awesome, man. It's a game changer. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. That's cool. He's not going to leave me or forsake me. So when I stumble, when I fell, when I drop the ball, he's not like game over. You know, he's not like, no, man, you really blew it this time, man. He's not going to leave me. He's got some things he wants me to accomplish. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So this verse starts off with be strong and courageous. And then it says, do not fear or be dismayed. And I don't have to give in to fear. I don't even have to mess around with that because God is with me. Amen? Okay. Okay, we're winding things up real fast. Go to the next slide. During this whole situation with the children of Israel going to the promised land, there was a couple guys other than Moses that really stood out. Joshua and Caleb, awesome dudes. Yeah, they believed in the Lord. They trusted in the Lord. They were two of the spies, Josh, that went and spied out the promised land and saw everything that was going on. So they spy out this land and they're like, wow, this place is awesome. There's grapefruit and whatever, fill in the blank with awesome stuff that they had over there. You know what I mean? They had all this awesome stuff. And yeah, they noticed there was fortified walls and all this stuff. Hey, whatever you do for the Lord, there's going to be warfare involved. There's going to be warfare involved. That's just how it is. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. That means for the duration, while you're here, we are going to fight. We are going to, there'll be times of peace. Oh man, amen. But while we're here, we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through storms. I think we touched on that a lot recently, so we'll just move forward. Okay, this is what Caleb says when these 10 dudes, there's 12 of them all together, but these 10 guys are like, beautiful, yes. Awesome, yes. It's like Orion's Buffet, Golden Corral. Just everything is there. I mean, it's rad. Look at this. Great. You see what I'm saying? But there's giants there, and this is a vicious land, and we look like grasshoppers to them. I feel like a grasshopper after being there. You know what I mean? But no, it's far worse. You know, and see, as we read this, our minds get blown. We're like, hey, man, what about the whole Egyptian army drowning in the Red Sea? What about that? What about that stuff? I mean, these ragtag armies they were going to face across the way, yeah, they were giants, but they were like cavemen compared to the Egyptian army. The Egyptians were like the world power of the day. These were the big dudes. There was a lot of these other guys, a lot of different other nations, but they were just overwhelmed. Why were they overwhelmed? Because they were looking at the smoke and mirrors. They were looking at what Satan was trying to throw their way. Amen. This is too big for God. Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? Do you see the pillar of fire with us? Oh, anyways, whatever. Okay, so this is what Caleb said. Okay, so these guys are given the bad report, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once. Let's not even talk about it anymore. Let's go, dude. Let's go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb saw everything that these other dudes saw. They were just looking at things in the natural. They weren't leaning on the Lord. They weren't leaning on the God that did all this other stuff. They were leaning on their own understanding. Like, this is a big mess. This is too much. Hey, nothing is impossible with God. And he said, this is my land. That's what Caleb's holding on to. God said we can have it. God said we can have it. Let's go get it. Woohoo, come on. No, for real, come on. And they wouldn't do it. Okay, then he breaks it down, says it again to the whole assembly, and these guys get so mad at Caleb in that, you know, Middle Eastern style of I'm upset with you type of thing they got going on sometimes. They wanted to stone him now. They wanted to kill him. Okay. But see, what happened to all these guys and the whole assembly, the whole nation that was like, no way, no way, can't do it. This is impossible. Victory Life Church has had its heyday. This stuff's not going to happen here any longer. What happened to those guys? They had to die out, man. If you don't want what God wants for you, he's not going to force it on you. He's not going to push it on you. You're going to miss revival. You're going to miss the blessing because you don't really want what he wants. You see what I'm saying? You don't want to pay this. You don't want to sacrifice. You don't want to be what he's called you to be. You don't want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. So it's better to sit in the corner and complain about everything else when you're the one that doesn't want to get out there and do it. Whew. I don't know. I don't know where that came from. Anyways. Any old hoot and holler. So Caleb gets before the assembly, he gets the nation, and like, we can totally do this. And like, that doesn't make sense to me. So I want to kill you. I want to stone you. You know what I mean? I don't understand this. So let's stone him. Okay. So anyways, but see, those people that want what God wants, that wants to sell out, that wants to turn north, he's going to bless them. He's going to give them what he desires for them to have. Amen. So this is what we want to do. We want to get in the Word. We want to get excited. I don't feel excited. Get into the Word. I don't feel expected. Get into the Word. Get into it. And it is a sacrifice at first. You have to make yourself do it if you're not already trained to do it. If you haven't already trained yourself in that discipline, it's kind of tough at first. But when you get into it, that sacrifice or that making yourself do it will be replaced with, I want to do this. I want to do this. I desire to do this. This is the main thing I want to do. You know what I'm saying? God will give us that desire. Amen. But we have to show him we mean business. Anyways, this is what God says, Numbers 14 and 24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. So Caleb said, you know what? I want what God's want. I want what God's want. I'm not afraid. I know there's warfare. I'm not afraid. God's going to be with me. So God sees this, and God's like, okay, all you people over here, you don't get it. You don't get to come because you didn't trust in me. And I've been faithful. I've given you plenty of reasons to trust in me, okay? But you, Caleb, you, Joshua, you get to be blessed. You get to go because you're trusting in me, amen? So God's going to bless those folks that want it, amen? Okay, and you know, Caleb was 85 years old, man, and he said, I can still take that mountain. I can still take what God has for me, amen? I still know that God's not going to leave me or forsake me. So in your life, if it looks like it's never going to happen, hey, God's not done. God's not done. He's not a man that he should lie. There's been a lot of promises given to this church. You know what? God's not a man that he should lie. It's going to happen. And you notice God said to Caleb, hey, your descendants are going to get this land. They're going to be blessed. So as we're obedient to the Lord, guess what? It's not just about you, but our children are going to be blessed. You know why I'm serving the Lord? Because my father and my mother served the Lord. Amen? Okay, anyways. We have to do a short meeting with the activities folks directly after church. You know who you are. Wednesday night Bible study, 7 p.m. It's going to be awesome. And then we have youth, 7 p.m. Wednesday as well. God bless you guys. I love you. Start your fast tomorrow. All right, let's get serious about this. Amen. Brother Donnie, take us home, bro.
Dear gracious Father, we just thank you, Lord, for a new year, Father God, we enter. Father God, just keep us in your hands, Lord, doing your will in our lives, Father God. We just speak blessings to each of you, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen.